When the chief priests took Jesus from the house of Caiaphas and brought him to Pilate the governor, they wanted him to declare him guilty. They wanted him to put him to death. And what lessons are there for you and me today in this event? Oh, beloved, you're going to be so surprised. And I know that God has you listening to this program for a very special purpose. It's morning here in Jerusalem, and I'm standing on the Mount of Olives, and at my back and over my left shoulder, you'll see the Temple Mount in a green area where the Praetorium was. This was where Pilate was. Jesus, on an early morning, was about to be taken to Pilate. Remember now, he has spent the night at the house of Caiaphas. He has been beaten there. He has been slapped. He has been humiliated. He has been taunted. He has, in all probability, spent the night in a pit that's there at the house of Caiaphas. They've lifted him out. They had an illegal trial. Now, Matthew 27, verse 1 tells us, when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death. They want to make this thing legal. Isn't it amazing what we do to justify our sin, to cover it up, or to excuse it? And so they had an illegal trial. Now they're making it legal. This is why they wait until morning. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate, the governor. As I said, when you look at the Temple Mount, when you see the golden dome behind me, then you look to your right. And when you see that green area there, there and over to the right more would be the area where Pilate would be. But remember, the city was crowded during this time. It was Pesach. It was the Passover. And all had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. So Pilate would be there, and Pilate would be there with his Roman legions to quell any uprising that might happen during the feast. Now, why do they lead him to Pilate? I want us to look at John 18, verse 31. So Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." And the Jews said to him, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." So they could do everything short. They could whip them up to 39 lashes, but they were not allowed to put him to death. And so what we have is we have them taking him to Pilate because they want Pilate to enact their death sentence that they have already pronounced upon Jesus. In verse 3 of Matthew 27, it says, "Now when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, saw that Jesus had been condemned, he felt remorse, and he returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' But they said, 'What is that to us? See to it yourselves.'" Stop and realize what is going on. The priests were to be the ones, the mediator between men who had sinned and a God who was holy. And when they sinned, they were to bring a sin offering to the temple. And that sin offering then would be like a covering for their sins. And so you see them not being what they ought to be. They're so consumed with getting rid of the competition, so consumed with getting rid of Jesus, that when Judas comes and he feels remorse, because he realizes that he has betrayed innocent blood. And I just want you to know that this is an enemy of God. In John chapter 6, Jesus tells us that he knew who was going to betray him. It was one who had the devil in him. And yet, knowing this, Jesus always treats him kindly. Jesus always treats him with respect. And here he is, knowing that Jesus is absolutely innocent, and all of a sudden feeling this remorse and coming to the priests and saying that I have betrayed innocent blood. I have betrayed innocent blood. I have sinned. I have sinned. And I want you to see, it is innocent blood. You see, the only reason that a person could be put to death was if they had broken the scriptures. And so now he is plotting the death of an innocent man. And he knows that that man's blood will be upon his head. It will be upon his hands. And so he says, I have sinned. But they say, what is that to us? See to that yourself. And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary. He takes those 30 pieces of silver. He walks over to the sanctuary itself, beyond the brazen altar, into the sanctuary, and he takes that silver and he slings it into there. And then what does he do? It says that he went away and he hanged himself. He went out and he hanged himself. Now, what is so sad here is that Judas has heard Jesus in these past 3 years say to men over and over and over again, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. So he knows that Jesus has the power to give forgiveness of sins. In fact, this is why the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees have contested Jesus, because they say only God is able to forgive sins. So here is Judas, who has betrayed Jesus, who is feeling remorse, who is feeling regret, but does not repent. He does not repent. He does not have a change of mind about who Jesus is. He does not go to Jesus and say, you are God. You are the Son of God, and I have sinned against you, and I'm asking you to forgive me. Oh, beloved, this is so grave. This is so sad. It breaks my heart when I think of it. Now, I know that he had the devil. I know that he was going to do this. And yet, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that Judas could have been forgiven. 1 John chapter 2, and it's such an important verse. In 1 John chapter 2, in verses 1 and 2, it says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, you're not supposed to sin, but if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Judas had an advocate. He was there. And he himself, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. He is the satisfaction, beloved, for our sins. And not for ours only, not for our sins only, but also for those of the whole world. Jesus was about to die for the whole world. Yes, he was going to be betrayed, and woe to the man by whom he was betrayed. But he was going to die for every human being's sin from the beginning, Adam and Eve, all the way to the end. He is the Lamb of God, and his blood is going to make propitiation, satisfaction for sins. What I want to say to you today is, I know that it's no accident that you are listening to this message from the Word of God. And maybe you are thinking, I have sinned and there's no way back. I might as well take my life. I might as well hang myself. I might as well shoot myself. Oh, beloved, listen to me carefully. Listen to me. It is ordained by God that as I stand here in Jerusalem teaching this message, you sit there in your place where God has you right now, and He has you listening to this message, and He wants you to know that there is forgiveness. I don't know what others have said to you. I don't know if you've met some chief priests that say, what is that to us? I don't know if you've gone to someone and they brushed you off, even as those brushed off Judas. But I want you to know that there is a high priest, and His name is Jesus Christ. And right now, having made satisfaction for your sins, He sits at the right hand of the throne of God, where He ever lives to make intercession for you. And He wants you to know that there is forgiveness of sins. Well, the chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, it is not lawful to put them into the temple treasury, since it is the price of blood. In other words, they bought the life of Jesus. They bought the blood of Jesus. He sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. So now, all of a sudden, the chief priests are keeping the law. They broke the law the night before. They're trying to keep the law that morning. Now they want to keep the law again. And yet, what are they doing? Well, do you remember Jesus' scathing statement about them in Matthew chapter 23? Do you remember when He levels the scribes and the Pharisees, when He talks about them as being hypocrites, leaders, blind, leading the blind? Well, remember in verse 23, He said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law. Now listen, justice and mercy and faithfulness, but these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. They should keep the law, and they should do with that money what is prescribed. But listen, where was their justice? Where was their mercy? Where was their faithfulness to Judas when he needed them? Oh, beloved, listen. There's one who is always faithful. His name is Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at His love and His mercy and His justice in just a minute.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying ready today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible, incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic, but you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs, but the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? Matthew writes his gospel. Remember, he is presenting to us the fact that Jesus is the King of the Jews. He is Messiah, the one who is to come, the one who comes first as a suffering Savior, and then second as a reigning King. And what he does all the way through his gospel is he supports things from the Word of God. He wants us to see that Jesus is the Messiah who has fulfilled the Scriptures. And this is what we're about to see now as they take those 30 pieces of silver, which they could not put into the temple treasury, and they do something else. In verse 7, it says, "And they conferred together, and with the money they bought the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. As you go through the Gehenna Valley, you can see the potter's field. Right now, it's fenced in because this is what happens to what they call holy sites here in this land. They fence them in, they put up a shrine, they put up a church, but the potter's field was near the Valley of Gehenna, the place of that was called Hades, the place that was called hell. It was a reference to a place of judgment. And it says, "For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day." Why? Because it was bought with 30 pieces of silver in exchange for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Then that which was spoken of through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. And they took the 30 pieces of silver and the price of one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel. And they gave them for the potter's field as the Lord directed me." Now, actually, the quote is coming from Zechariah, but you can use Zechariah and Jeremiah together to come up with this conclusion. But the direct quote comes from Zechariah. And so what you have is you have Scripture again being fulfilled. In verse 11, "Now Jesus stood before the governor." Now the governor, remember, is Pilate. "And the governor questioned him, saying, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And he said to him, 'It is as you say.'" Now watch again. We're marking every reference to the king of the Jews because we want to understand everything that God tells us about the king of the Jews. We met him at first in Matthew chapter 2, when the Magi came looking for the one who was the king of the Jews. So now he says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Pilate knows what's going on. I want you to understand that. Pilate has heard of this man. Pilate is not ignorant of what is going on under his jurisdiction. And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." Now, beloved, let me remind you again that the Temple Mount is at my back. You see the green field. You see the green trees, rather. That area and over more to the right, and there's a little gate there. It's called the Lion's Gate. All of that is where you will find where Jesus was in the Praetorium and where he was tried, where he was scourged. And if you and I had the opportunity to go through the Lion's Gate, we could go to one of these places. The thing is, it is so busy and so crowded with cars going by that it's almost impossible to film. Now it says in verse 12, "And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer." You have to remember, Pilate's there, the chief priests are there, the elders are there, they're accusing Jesus. Jesus is standing there absolutely silent. He does not answer. Then Pilate said, "Did you not hear how many things they testify against you?" And he did not answer with regard to even a single charge. So the governor was quite amazed. What was happening, beloved? Well, Matthew does not take us there because Matthew's emphasis is the king. But I want us to go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And in Isaiah chapter 53, which is a chapter that the Jews do not know what to do with. They keep saying that Isaiah 53 is a reference to the nation of Israel. And yet, beloved, it's not. It's a reference to Jesus Christ. It's a reference to the Messiah. It's a reference to the suffering Savior. And in Isaiah chapter 53, it says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before his shears, so he did not open his mouth." Do you know that you can take a lamb and put a knife to its throat, slit its throat, and the lamb will never utter a word? But if you take a pig and you start to slit its throat, that pig will squeal and squeal and hurt your ears. Jesus is like a lamb before his shears. He's like a lamb that is being led to the slaughter. He did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. Now listen, as for his generation, those that were living at that time, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, listen very carefully, for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. Do you know why you can have forgiveness of sins no matter what you've done? You can have forgiveness of sins because Jesus paid for the transgression, your transgression. The stroke was due you. The judgment was due you. But Jesus is taking it. And this is why he's standing there. He's not opening his mouth. Why? Because it was in the Garden of Gethsemane, there on his face, as he sweat great drops of blood, that the decision was made, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Why would he try to justify himself? First of all, he's absolutely innocent. He's standing before men who are falsely accusing him. He's standing before men who are determined to see him die. So why should he defend himself? Why, in a sense, pardon me, but why, in a sense, should he cast his pearls before swine, as Matthew 7 says, as he said in Matthew 7? Why should he give what is holy to dogs? Because those dogs would just turn and rend him. So here we see him as an example of what he taught to us. Here we see him as a lamb before his shears is dumb. Do you not hear how many things they testify against you? Oh, beloved, have you ever been in a situation where someone has falsely testified against you? And you know that it's a setup, and you know that no matter what you say, that it's not going to change the situation. What do you have then in your heart? Of course you're anxious, and of course you're troubled, but you have peace because you know that you are right. Here was Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, standing there, listening to false accusations and knowing that he had come to the hour for such a time as this. The one who would be slain for the judgment of others. The one who would take the sins of others for whom, and death with it, for whom the transgression was due. Oh, beloved, this is Jesus. This is Jesus, your Savior, with his arms open wide, saying, "I know where you're at, and I'm the solution." I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, "This trip is so much fun. I learned so much, but I laugh and I
share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened.
It's an overcast day here in Jerusalem. And I thought, how appropriate to teach a message like this when there are dark clouds in the sky, when the sun only intermittently comes and goes. Why? Because, beloved, we're dealing with a very grave subject. We're dealing with the trial of Jesus Christ. We're going to deal with the scourging of Jesus Christ. We're going to deal with the death of Jesus Christ. And He's the one who is the Son of Righteousness that arises with healing in His wings, as Malachi says. Things may be very dark in your life right now. You may be falsely accused. There may be no way that you feel that you are going to get justice or that you are going to get reconciliation. And I want you to know, precious one, you are not alone. Jesus is there. He sticks closer than a brother. He has been tempted in all points as you are. He understands. And He is there for you. And His arms are open wide. And what He's telling you is, I can be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. Everything I endured so that I, as a human being, could understand what you, as a human being, are doing. Now, beloved, I want to take us back as we wrap up this program. I want to take us back to Judas. And I want us not to forget that he went out and he hanged himself. And he hung himself because he felt remorse. He had a regret, but not a repentance. He did not turn to the source of life. Although he spent three and a half years with Jesus, he did not respond to Jesus according to who he was, according to the knowledge of him as a deliverer. So, beloved, what I'm saying to you is you are going to be desperate, but you don't want to take your life, because your life will end up, if you don't know Jesus, you'll end up in hell. So come to him. And lay this burden at his feet and know that his arms are open wide with Calvary love. With Calvary love. That's what we're going to see, and you don't want to miss the next program.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.